everybody. Welcome back. This is Richard Sachs on Lost Arts Radio Live with Doug Diamond holding the show together as always. And wanted to tell you Happy New Year on behalf of both of us. Hope that the year is starting out really well for all of you and that you're having a good weekend or whenever this is in your part of the world. This is kind of a special show, not only because it's a New Year's show and the first one of the month and the year, and depending on how you calculate it, the new decade from 2020 to 2029. But it's also unusual because, you know, when we started this show, I was doing primarily not any attempt to do a comprehensive news show, because we've already told you recommended places to go for that where they have big crews and they're on 6 days a week and that sort of thing. So we were choosing interesting and important events during the week that have massive implications that we wanted to look at. Since then, we've had a chance to go off on some other tangents into subjects that have been interesting in different ways. But this week, in the last little while, we've had the beginning of what could be a major crisis in Iran based on events of a missile strike that assassinated what some people are saying was the main leader of the country. And it was a flat-out assassination. Whether it was a good idea strategically or not, there's a lot of angles to this, and it's a very subtle and complex situation. I've been talking to people nonstop from different points of view on this, some saying that it's terrible, that it's criminal. A UN spokesman said it was illegal. Other attorneys have said it was completely legally justified. The official DOD statement came out and said it was because the person who was assassinated, this top major general, Soleimani, was planning major attacks on U.S. citizens in Iran, at least, or maybe in Iraq or the whole region there. And soldiers and contractors and civilians and things like that. But when you talk about assassinating somebody because of what they're planning, that's kind of what they call thought crime. It's not a good thing to get very far into at all, because somebody can claim you had the thought that you were planning something and assassinate you, and I don't think that's a good idea. However, he's also been responsible for, according to some people, large numbers of U.S. and other casualties and deaths. And some people within Iran say that he's done some very bad atrocities within Iran, which, of course, is not, if that's what he's doing, it's not up to the leader of some other country to come in and murder him, in my opinion. But he also, to make it more complex, played a major part in helping to kill ISIS, a threat to the world, basically, because of their religious idea that they have to take over the world and kill everybody who doesn't convert, unless they enslave the lucky ones, I guess. But so he did some good work in that sense, and it's just very complicated. So I have a lot of thoughts on it after talking to these different sources from all over the spectrum, but I thought it would be a much more interesting discussion, especially with the response, positive response that we've gotten in the last several shows, to invite our friend Joel Skousen, if he happens to not be too busy, which he's always incredibly busy, as you can imagine, to come on Lost Arts Radio Live and talk with us about what he sees as the deeper implications and things going on that we might not so easily see. So, amazingly, he has time. And he said, sure, just call him up and he'll come right over and join us for this live show. So you're going to get to sit in on what could be a pretty interesting discussion, I suspect. And let me see if I can add him on this system right now. I'm not a super genius at anything, but especially at technology. Let me see if I can make it work. Hey, Joel.
Hello, Richard.
Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Yeah, nice to see you again.
Thank you.
Didn't think it would be so quick, but there's some pretty important things happening.
Yes, there are.
You may have noticed that I'm sure you've been talking to people a lot, as I have, about what's going on over there. I thought, just to bring everybody up to speed, In case not everyone knows what we're talking about, let's go back at least to the attack of the so-called protesters on the U.S. embassy, this giant, like almost city-sized embassy in Iraq, which we've all paid for, and see if, what the connections, if any, are between that and the assassination near the airport that took place afterwards. Anything connected to that that you think is relevant, just with the idea to bring people up to speed who don't know what we're talking about right now.
Well, heretofore, Donald Trump was to be congratulated for resisting the four or five false flag attacks which the U.S. and Israel tried to blame on Iran. Missiles that crashed into a tanker that they tried to blame on Iran, putting landmines on it, but they were the crew clearly said these were missiles coming in, not landmines. There was the attack on the Saudi Arabian oil fields, which was clearly not Iran, because the U.S. has Aegis destroyers in the straits, Gulf of Hormuz, between Iran, and they certainly would have had on radar tape all of the drones or cruise missiles or anything that Iran flew over there. So this was just absolutely bogus. But now the U.S. has decided to go and actually start attacking Iran, or at least what they claim are Iran proxies. Now, a proxy is somebody who is taking orders from Iran and is attacking U.S. soldiers. And there's really no evidence of that. The Taib Hezbollah, which the U.S. attacked at five different bases, including bases in Syria, on Thursday, do get supplies and weapons from Iran. Iran supplies, hundreds of independent anti-American groups around the world, but they don't direct them. The reason I say that is because Iran knows that there's going to be a war with the West, is desperately preparing for it, and they wouldn't want to trigger it before they're ready by unleashing these. They can't control them. It's like the Taliban. It's a very distributed structure. They don't have direct command and control over many of the Taliban smaller units. And so, for example, this terrorist attack that took place at the time the Taliban were trying to close the deal with the United States on a ceasefire was not directed by the Taliban leadership. In fact, I suspect that it was the deep state infiltration of one of the Taliban groups that caused them to do the terrorist attack to sabotage the talks.
To let people, you're talking about Afghanistan right now, right?
That's right. Yeah. That was in the Taliban in Afghanistan. But the deep state is working all over the world in these hotspot areas trying to provoke trouble. And, there are several, as I covered in this week's World Affairs Brief, there are several anti-American, very large anti-American Iraqi groups, mostly among the Shiites. The Sunnis are divided about 50-50 between those that are anti-Iran and those that are anti-U.S. And so the largest of the Iraqi Shiite anti-American groups is the PMF, which is about 150,000 man strong army. Prime Minister Mahdi tried to get them to, who's a Shiite as well, but rather relatively a puppet of the U.S. State Department, tried to get the PMF to come under the aegis of the control of the Iraqi security services, and they refused. And Iraq is literally incapable of bringing 150,000 man armed force under their control. But the attack on the embassy was done in retaliation for this attack. There had been some rocket attacks against Iraqi bases where Americans were present. And we've got to remember that the United States has already been asked numerous times by Iraq to leave Iraq. So they're there illegally. Originally, they had the permission of the government after they overthrew Saddam Hussein and put in a puppet government into Iraq. But under the last two prime ministers, they've been told flat out, we want you out of here. And the U.S. has refused. So the U.S. is illegally in Iraq.
When was that big embassy built?
Well, the embassy was built in the past 10 years, I mean, it's huge. It took a long time to build. It actually took 5 years
to
build.
But I mean, that's during the time that you're saying we were, not we, what, that the U.S. military was asked to leave.
No, it was built. That was after the embassy was built that the U.S. was asked to leave.
Okay.
And the reason for that is very, very clear. There are literally thousands of embassy employees. In May of last year, Secretary of State Pompeo brought out of Iraq 75% of the diplomatic personnel, which amounted to be about 100 to 200 people out of thousands. There are now only 15 people connected with the State Department in that huge embassy. And the rest of the thousands there are working for the deep state, fomenting and supplying terror supplies around the Middle East. And the Iraqis know that. That's why they've asked the U.S. to leave. And the U.S. is refusing. And so there is no legitimacy to U.S. occupation in Iraq. They continue to, because, you know, the deep state controls ISIS and Al-Qaeda, and they keep saying to President Trump, well, if we leave Iraq, ISIS will come in again, just like they did before. And there could be some truth to that, in fact, that the U.S. deep state controls ISIS, and they could send ISIS. Remember, ISIS was created out of about 50% of the U.S.-backed Syrian rebels. They just gave them a name change and priority on weaponry and new leaders. But ISIS is totally controlled by the deep state. So it can be an easily self-fulfilling prophecy for the deep state to warn a country that you're going to be overwhelmed by ISIS if our troops are. They still want us out because the Iraqis have filmed U.S. helicopters coming in and rescuing ISIS during the Battle of Mosul and taking out leaders. And we know, of course, that in the Battle of Raqqa, that the U.S. came in and hired 50 semi-trucks driven by Arabs to come in and rescue ISIS with their families and their heavy weapons. So this is a sham war on terror that we're dealing with.
Somehow that didn't get onto mainstream TV channels.
No, absolutely not. But it did get, you know, in some mainstream news outlets like Reuters and other things who talked about that. It was never picked up by the U.S. side of Reuters, but, you know, I don't have any insiders in government. I get all this information from, in fact, sources that are open. Right. And so if it's open, that means the mainstream media is spiking the story and not allowing the Americans to know about these things, which would clearly implicate the U.S. in collusion with ISIS.
And the media as well.
That's right. Now, the embassy was attacked by Kaib Hezbollah and PMZ and PMZ and other anti-U.S. organizations. Now, let me just say at the outset, even though I am, you know, against the deep state and what they're doing in the Middle East, Iran is not a good country. Neither is Kaib Hezbollah. Neither is PMZ and these other. And these are Islamist organizations. These don't want to allow any secular Iraqis or Iranians to have a secular government. So these are not necessarily nice governments. But remember that Iran is not, and I repeat, not the biggest sponsor of terror in the world. It's a wave of propaganda about Soleimani, the head of the Qasem Soleimani, the head of the Quds Expeditionary Force, who was assassinated leaving the Baghdad airport as a terrorist. And yes, you know, they can say that he has attacked but in fact, it is the Israelis that are attacking the Iranian ammo depots in both Syria and Iraq. And the U.S. is now attacking them. And so they just like blown up a hornet's nest. And naturally, those people are going to attack the American embassy when you attack them. And you could get away with calling them terrorists, but in fact, Iran has not done any terror against the United States. Back over 10 years ago, Hezbollah blew up, you know, the Marine barracks during the Reagan administration, 20 years ago almost now. And that was Hezbollah. Hezbollah is now under Iran, and Hezbollah is not doing any terrorist attacks against either Israel or Americans. It's the Americans and the Israelis that are trying to provoke Iran into a war. Now, Iran has not taken the bait. And that's why the U.S. has gone on to direct attacks at Iranian allies in Iraq, provoke. And this provocation of killing General Soleimani was specifically to provoke a direct reaction from Iran. And by calling them a terrorist, by calling Iran terrorist, I mean, this is just, and Trump is, President is buying all of this phony intelligence.
Right.
He's buying all of it. So, you know, it also tells you something about U.S. and Israeli intelligence. I mean, the Iranians have got to learn to be a lot more careful. Soleimani flew into Baghdad on a commercial airline. The U.S. and Israeli obviously have tapped into all the airline tickets. They know who's flying on every airplane. That means that they had agents watching at the gate, radioing what car he gets into, radioing to the circling drones up above what to look for, and then rocketing that car. I mean, this was a murder that occurred. And you know, the excuses for doing it are just as excuses as the Obama going after Osama bin Laden. Osama bin Laden worked for the FBI. They didn't kill Osama bin Laden. He died from kidney failure at least 2 years before the attack. Yeah. They killed one of the CIA lookalikes that they had at this villa in Abbottabad, Pakistan, and claimed that they got Osama bin Laden. I mean, it's just one charade after another, and the American people have got to wake up to what the deep state is really doing.
Well, the excuses used for why they killed Soleimani were included things like he was planning to do something bad. That was the Department of Defense. That was their strongest reason.
Right? That's right. And that's the kind of stuff they feed to Donald Trump. And he doesn't have any way to get an alternative point of view. They can manufacture this. They can manufacture, just like they manufactured the intelligence about Russian interference in the election. They can falsify any of this kind of stuff. So it's very, very problematic. In fact, the U.S. has attacked another convoy of people in Iraq today and then denied responsibility. But the senator in charge of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee said he's been briefed on this attack and that the U.S. has it classified. Now, if they didn't do it, what are they briefing him on? And why is it classified if the U.S. didn't do it?
Right. Yeah, if it's done by somebody else, you wouldn't have to hide it.
That's right. The U.S. is clearly directly trying to provoke Iran into retaliating so that they can point the finger and say, you attacked us. I mean, they excuse every one of their attacks as if these people are terrorists. Now, I'm not saying that they're good people, but there's no more black and white in the Middle East. There's no more good guys and bad guys. They're all bad guys.
Right.
But the worst bad guys are the deep state who pretends to be fighting terror but are funding terror. Right. And the bad guys that are doing us a favor are the ones that are fighting against the deep state and their terrorists that they are backing. There are no moderates. Neither in Iran, neither in Iraq, neither in Syria. They're all Islamists that are fighting against the U.S.
Well, a moderate fighter is an oxymoron anyway, right? I mean, if you're moderate, what are you going to fight against?
Yeah, well, it was terms in moderation of their views on imposing an Islamic state, but every one of the U.S.-backed rebels are radical Islamists, just like the ones in Iraq who are anti-U.S. and just like the Iranians are Islamists. And the poor secular Iraqis and the secular Iranians who really want the freedom to choose are in the middle, and they're not getting anything, and they never will.
Yeah, there's a lot of great people in those countries. I have friends that are Iranian. You know, they consider themselves Persian, and they don't support any of this junk that's going on.
Yeah, that's right. So I suspect we're going to see war very quickly with Iran. The U.S. is still waiting for Iran to retaliate. There's all kinds of pundits saying that Iran is going to try to assassinate a general of ours in order to have quid pro quo here. But they're too smart for this. They are not taking the bait, you know, no matter how much the U.S. pushes them. So the U.S. is just going to continue to push harder. And I'm expecting the U.S. or Israel to pull off a false flag attack that actually kills a large amount of American troops, and that will trigger the war.
Wearing Iranian uniforms or something, I guess.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so the objective of the deep state would be to show that Iran is so bad that the U.S. has to do this massive attack against it, right?
That's right.
U.S. and Israel.
But it's You know, it's just a huge propaganda, and there's virtually no one, including Fox News, is beating the drums of war as we speak. No one out there representing the anti-war side. And Tulsi Gabbard, who, for example, on the Democratic side is not for war, she's being shoved off the stage, and New York Times comes out and tries to destroy her. I mean, I'm not saying you ought to vote for a Tulsi Gabbard because she's otherwise a socialist, but
she has one good policy. And that's unacceptable, I guess.
Yeah. They want total uniformity. And that's what they're getting here.
Yeah. So if you're saying that the initial response to the assassination, even though they put the red flag of jihad on top of the dome in one of the big cities of the mosque, showing that it's time for jihad, that you think that's just show and they're not really going to, like you say, take the bait at this stage and do anything big?
Look, there's a lot of Iranians that are hopping mad because of this. Really hopping mad, and they're putting up the red flag, etc. But the Iranian army command is not gonna go to war unless they're ready. And I'll tell you, when this war starts, the UAE is gonna get attacked, Bahrain is gonna attack, Qatar is gonna attack, Saudi Arabia is gonna get attacked, not just US troops. Iran has a tremendous amount of missile and cruise missile power and drone power, and the U.S. is not going to be able to take that down with all its firepower in the first few days. There's going to be some casualties in this war. It's not going to be a picnic, a cakewalk like in Iraq. They won Iraq essentially because the U.S. has automatic fire control or computerized fire control system on the Abrams tank, and the T-2 or the T-72 tanks of the Soviet era don't have anything. They're manually controlled. You've got to manually crank the tank around. It takes a while. It's just too slow. So I don't care how many T-72s anybody has. You can't compete. So Iran is going, yeah, they've got old armor as well, but they've gone to sophisticated missile, cruise missile, and drone technology. And they're pretty sophisticated military.
But they're not ready for a preemptive war on their side. That's what you're saying.
It's just like Russia and China have a tremendous amount, and much more than Iran, but even they aren't ready to take on the West.
Right.
And so
the West is going to try to force Iran to fight, even though they're not ready.
They're trying to get them to go to war sooner rather than when they're ready, when they choose. So expect to see many more provocations. And this bombing this convoy today is just unconscionable in terms of, and denying it, because the war, the U.S. does not want to be, you see, they're putting out all these excuses about these people were attacking American troops, so we had to take them out. Soleimani was preparing this great big attack on the U.S., so we had to take him out. They're looking defensive, but it is purely offensive.
Well, and some of it's really dumb. I mean, Trump made a statement right after this happened that was, I support a lot of what Trump does, especially standing against the deep state where he understands how to do it. But he made a statement that he said, we did this assassination to stop a war, not to start a war.
Yeah.
In other words, so it's okay.
Yeah.
There's different kinds of assassinations.
They're just made up out of whole cloth that Soleimani was going to do a major attack on American base. And so therefore this justified our preemptive striking him.
That's thought crime, right?
Well,
you get killed because of something you were going to do.
That's a lie that they said that you were going to do before the crime. Yes, that's right.
Right. Now, I don't have any details on the convoy bombing. Why don't you tell us more about that?
Well, it was a huge aerial attack again with a missile attack on six vehicles in a convoy, which the Iraqis now say was a medical convoy. It wasn't even a military convoy. But there was a pickup truck in it. There was an ambulance and there were several other trucks that were in this convoy, and they got, rocketed by a missile from a drone. And the U.S. is claiming that we didn't do it. Well, who's going to do it then? Is it Iran that did a drone attack on Iraq? No way. Maybe it was Israel. Israel's got drones, and Israel's got Reaper drones and other things too that they can shoot. So maybe the U.S. is getting away from it by saying that we didn't do it, but our proxies, the Israelis, did it. And that's a very real possibility. that the U.S. would want plausible deniability on this.
Well, that's one of the big attractions of drone warfare, right? Lack of accountability.
Yeah, that's right.
You could either not say you know nothing about it, you have no idea what happened, or you could paint up a drone with somebody else's colors and do what you want.
And so the media believes the U.S. when the U.S. denies things, but I'll tell you, when the top senator of the Senate Foreign Affairs says he's been briefed by the Pentagon on this strike, but it's still classified, you know that the U.S. knows in detail who did it. If they didn't do it, it was the Israelis.
And these people in Congress, senators, for example, like Lindsey Graham, who say, well, what makes sense now as a response is that we have to crush what's left of the Iranian economy, blow up all the oil infrastructure, so all the people in Iran die.
Yeah, you know, this is just really, but I can tell you that's the U.S. intent, not only to attack all of their military infrastructure, but all of their oil infrastructure, bring them to a poverty level as well, and it's just criminal.
Yeah. And a lot of them are there already because of the existing sanctions.
Yes, that's right.
I mean, I've talked to people from Iran, and they're saying, you know, the money is almost worthless. They can't get anything they need, and people are actually starving to death because of these supposedly effective sanctions.
Well, now, you've got to remember, too, that the U.S. Or that China and Russia are buying oil from Iran, so they are getting hard currency in there, but they're spending it on military stuff, and that's why the people aren't getting it.
Okay. So the hope is, I guess, of the deep state, and I guess the theme of the series that we're doing with you too is that the deep state is in almost full control of the U.S. and probably the Israeli and other governments, right? It doesn't really have a lot of opposition at this point.
No, they are in absolute control of the U.S. government. The only thing they have to be careful of is not to show their hands so much that they create a rebellion among the American people. They still fear democracy. That's where the control over the media comes in, to continue to shield the people from the real understanding of how deadly and deep the deep state really runs.
I think the media, they consider, is doing a fantastic job of misleading everybody really well. And they also have great hopes for contributions from the advanced medical system, that if everybody's so sick that they're unable to think, that would be great, because they'd have a lot less dissent. And I know that an example of that is that FDA just approved an Ebola vaccine that they say, well, it causes Ebola, yeah, and, you know, it'll spread it widely, but it looks really good as a vaccine, and we're giving it the go-ahead. And a lot of those things are proceeding in parallel.
Yeah, everybody's got to swear off taking any vaccines. Don't take the flu shot, take nothing. But you have to learn to eat healthy and be healthy in order to resist what's coming. You can't just eat junk food and not take protect yourself against these diseases that they are creating.
And the real health information is being more and more violently suppressed in this country and much of the world, I think.
Yeah, I talked about in the World Affairs Brief about the whooping cough epidemic that happened in a city, and 100% of the children were vaccinated.
It was caused by the shot, I would say.
Yes, and that's very real. The measles outbreaks are caused by the shot as well.
Yeah, and it's a worse kind of measles, you know, because when measles was just natural, it was fine. I remember having it, and all my friends had it, and it means
you never heard of anyone dying of the measles.
No. You know, there are certain key vitamins that if you don't have those, or if you're living in sewage or something, you might die. But otherwise, no, we had a good time. And you're supposed to forget all about that. In fact, it's the plan is that soon it will be illegal to even discuss this.
Well, they're certainly, censoring it all over the internet and the search engines, so that when you type in vaccine danger, you get nothing but debunking vaccine problems. Yeah,
that's right. Health information, too. Alternative, solutions to different situations. So it points out that even though, as in the series that we're doing, that you're saying, well, it looks like we might have 5 years before this total war scenario that you see coming with Russia and China and everybody being involved, there are things that are happening right now that require a response. It's not like everything's going to be really easy for 5 years and then suddenly there's going to be a war. It's clearly a ramping up.
It is like that. It is actually like that, Richard. I mean, it's going to appear despite all these little problems, still people are fat, dumb, and happy. They're still overweight. They're still not getting tougher. Their children are still being sent to public schools. They're still taking vaccines to get into public schools. So people have to wake up that you are weakening yourself. You're weakening your children. Look how many children are converted to become socialists after coming out of public high school and public universities. We're just losing
54% now, something like that.
We're losing the battle for the hearts and minds of people. And it's because parents, even though they're conservative, are too lazy to homeschool. They're too lazy to tell their children no about social media and other things, and they're reaping the whirlwind. Yeah. You know, you can undo the bad education that they're getting at school if you take the time to, you know, check on them, but you can't undo the bad social influences. That's the poison that is killing the mind and the spirit of youth, is the social peer pressure poisoning. And you look at the media, you look at the movies that are coming out. Right. I mean, they're just inane. When's the last time you saw a real interesting dialogue about substantive matters in a movie like you used to see in the 40s and even the 50s and things? But
well, in the 40s, they were trying to make movies that were inspiring in some way.
That's right. But even the movies that weren't inspiring, that would tend to be worldly, had very tough dialogue. I mean, you look at a movie with Spencer Tracy and Katharine Hepburn, and man, they're at it all the time with very heavy dialogue. You don't see that. I mean, all you see is CGI action and hardly any dialogue whatsoever. And it's just mindless stuff. But you always have now the feminine heroes. All the tough guys are feminine now.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they're promoting the gays every time in the transition, transgender and the weirdos, but you know, they're against Western culture, they're against manliness and any concept. Even in churches now, they're rejecting the concept of a patriarchal order, that a man should lead. It should all be co-equal now, and you know, a man has to lead in righteousness. He has to be correct. That's his calling. But you can never have an absolute equality in any partnership. Somebody's got to make an ultimate decision when there's a disagreement. And well, I'm not saying that it's necessarily the man. It has to be the person who's right. But I'm saying it's the responsibility of the man to be right. And society should expect him to lead in a proper way so that he is right, so that he can lead, because he has the strength. And strength is an important part of ultimate leadership. And people ask me, you know, well, why is God a male always, you know? And I say, you know, theologically, a man is the only person that's got enough fury in his soul, not that all men have it, but God does, that Satan is afraid to death of God, because God has the fury to enforce the system of justice that has to be for to get all the assent, positive assent from people in the universe, is that you got to have a God who's got enough fury and enough power to make Satan cower in his heels. And no woman, no matter how dominant, has the same power and fury that a man is capable of. And that's why men must lead. That doesn't mean that all men are good at leading or righteous enough. But God is a man and God is righteous, and he's furious enough. Though he leaves, you know, on earth, Satan enough rope to hang himself and people enough rope to hang themselves, ultimately there's going to be a judgment someday. And these deep staters are going to be the first ones in the chains of hell, because they are in league with Satan to try to destroy truth and destroy manliness and destroy the family and destroy the sexual orientation that God gave us. And it's really sad.
They don't seem too worried about it at the moment. And which would help things a lot if people had a change of heart in leadership positions. But I think it's one reason that among the general population, one of the main themes is keep everybody insane and fighting with each other and with themselves, right?
Well, you know, the longer I live, the more I realize that most average people are not capable of in-depth analysis. I mean, analyzing the deep state is a full-time profession with me. It's very, very sophisticated. It's very, very involved. And it's very, very deceptive. So, you know, you have to remember a lot of historical details to be able to track the deep state. And, you know, in the series that we did together on the deep state, you saw that I did the whole series on memory. And I had, you know, hundreds and hundreds of stories and facts that point out how the deep state. Well, how many people can remember those things? My point is not to pat myself on the back. The point is to say most people need leadership. They need someone to lead them, to help them through the thinking process, to help point out what they're missing. And we have not allowed good men to lead in this nation. Probably Ronald Reagan, even though he was, you know, somewhat flawed, he was a true conservative. Probably the last true leader we've had that got in spite of the power system and that wrote his own speeches. He did make some compromises that were unwise, but by and large, he was a true leader and a true conservative. But we haven't had anything since then. Donald Trump is not in that category. He has good instincts. As a promoter, he promotes these things, but he has no background on being able to follow through with them. He has nothing to offer when they offer these sophisticated, his briefers offer these sophisticated excuses and this false intelligence. He's got a little bit of skepticism, but even though he protests, I don't believe that, when they come back again with an excuse, what does he say? I don't have any answers to those things. So he gets talked out of things.
I think when he starts repeating phrases like, well, this is a killing to stop a war, not to start a war, the depth is lacking, right? I mean,
I think he was fed that line, frankly.
I mean, he's just repeating.
I don't even think Donald Trump's capable of coming up with that line. I think that was fed to him.
It's a catchy line, you have to admit that.
Yeah. It was fed to Donald Trump because he's not very good at arguments at all. And he's got some pretty good people working for him to feed him the lines, but there's nobody in his staff that understands the deep state. Nobody who knows how to advise him on who to replace someone when he gets rid of James Comey. You know, he puts in Christopher Wray. Who do I know who to put in as FBI director? I have to take what people offer me. And I ask him, is he conservative? Oh, yeah, he's conservative. But they don't tell you, like Brett Kavanaugh, that he's deep state, even though he's conservative. They cover both sides of the spectrum.
Yeah, you can certainly see that by the Republican members of Congress. I mean, a lot of them are major enemies of anything good. I mean, they're 100% working for deep state, probably because of a combination of bribes and blackmail that's held against them. And
for example, I think that Senator Cruz is a legitimate conservative. I think he maybe got some moral things in his background that the deep state has on him. But, you know, even Senator Cruz comes out and he says, well, of course, the Russia interfered in our election. I mean, there's no courage among any of the conservatives to combat the hyper narrative of the deep state in promoting the fact that Russia interfered in our election. And not a word about all of the CIA interference and all the rest of the world's interference, which is going on constantly, using NSA spying to derail other candidates in other countries, to find them in honey traps and other immoralities so that they can.
Right.
They did that to the Freedom Party leader in Austria and got him removed. I mean, that's real interference in the election.
If you think it's a lack of courage, but like people in the Senate, what do you think they're afraid of?
Well, in the first place, they fear the media's ability, if they say something non-standard, if they were to take up and defend Russia, they know that they would be crucified, not only in the national media, but in the Dallas Morning News, another of the local media that's controlled by the deep state as well.
Right.
And they worry about re-election. It's just a matter of, you know, only Ron Paul is probably the only there's a few others still, you know, like Andrews and others that are willing to take the heat. But I haven't heard any of those, you know, say that Russia didn't interfere with the election. I mean, I've said
amazing.
I've got the goods on the NSA. I know how they can falsify things. But where is the courage in the conservatives to really, you know, fight against this propaganda agenda against Iran? It's so easy to make the case that Iran is not the greatest terrorist sponsor. Yet you don't hear anybody say that.
No, it's just like a belief system that you're supposed to repeat it. So what would What would a good person in Congress do at this point?
Well, he should stand up and say, first of all, that, you know, you got to prove to us that, you know, name me a terrorist attack, name me 10 terrorist attack of the Iranians, for example. And they'll say, well, they attacked our troops. No, that's not a terrorist attack. A terrorist attack is like ISIS, which is run by you guys in the deep state, attacking a restaurant in France or a movie theater or a rock concert, you know, with automatic weapons and other thing, and then telling us it's ISIS. You know, that's a terrorist event when you hit civilians. Iran isn't running around killing civilians. You know, Iran, through its proxies, have in fact killed, you know, some American troops in Yemen, which is clearly being supplied by Israel, is attacking Saudi Arabia. And eventually they're probably going to end up killing a few American troops, which shouldn't be in Saudi Arabia. But it's not terrorism. And in fact, if you attack troops that are not supposed to be in your country, that's not an act of terrorism. That's an act of self-defense. And they may be our troops, but I can tell you, as a former military officer, I'm embarrassed that everyone keeps saying thanks for your service defending our freedom. Now, I was in the Vietnam area where you're defending the freedom of the Vietnamese, but today we're not defending anyone's freedom. We're out there doing the globalist bidding, invoking hatred against the United States and making ourselves the bully of the world.
How do you think that fits together with the local examples for specific issues? For example, in the U.S., all the school shootings where you have one person who is always called the person responsible, and then there's a few other reports of several professional shooters that are involved. And that's a form of, I guess, politically motivated terrorism, right?
It's domestic terrorism by our own government. Absolutely. When you shoot up all these children at Sandy Hook and you have a mind-controlled individual and you say it was an AR-7 and it wasn't, an AR-15 and it wasn't an AR-15, and you have another person let out in handcuffs, the students tell the media, yeah, there was another person let out in handcuffs, and that was the handler. That was the guy who was there to make sure that Adam Lanza suicided himself, and if he didn't, he was to shoot him. And that's the way these false flag gun attacks are. Now, I'm not one of those who says the gun attack didn't occur. It did occur. It was just run by the government, and it wasn't done by an independent crazy person.
Because it's easier to manage a country if the people are disarmed, I guess, the reason.
That's right. That's the purpose. They've got to get Americans. And Americans have been very resistant to that, thank goodness. And I'll tell you, when they finally get around to gun registration, which is always leads to gun confiscation, and eventually, during war, when they'll confiscate weapons, there's going to be millions of people that will not give up their weapons, especially during a war when there's chaos.
Right. It's going to be an interesting situation. Did you just hear of the UN advertisement for our great career in disarming people and putting them in camps? And I guess they said reintegrating them. They want you to speak English and if possible, have a master's degree in something related, and you can start applying immediately.
I haven't seen that, no.
That's a public ad. It's not hidden at all. And I don't know how many people they're looking for, but it's based in the UN office in New York.
Well, we're still a long way from the United Nations doing that kind of gun confiscation. I know that there's a lot of conspiracy theories about the United Nations troops being in the country, and most of those turn out. All of them, in fact, have turned out false. There have been some troops from foreign countries training in the country, but all these reports of thousands of Chinese troops right across the border in Mexico. I mean, I have thousands of subscribers everywhere. It's easy for me to send somebody who's on the southern border over there to check out these reports. They all come out blank.
Yeah. What about the trains with armored vehicles on hundreds
same,
of cars?
Well, yeah. But those are shipping overseas. They ship National Guard units all the time overseas, and they have to ship all their equipment. Those things never end up being used. I mean, those reports have been around for years. The biggest ones that you have to watch out for are the ones about the long trains with prison cars and handcuffs and shackles in the cars. And every one of those reports, nobody has had the mental acuity to go take a photograph of them. So everybody's got a cell phone now. Why aren't there any photographs of these things?
It's a good question. Yeah, it's so easy to get. And there are reports of the last administration before Trump ordering guillotines and special cars, yeah, and things like that.
Yeah, and then there was the report even actually put out by the government about buying, you know, $9 billion of 9mm parabellum ammunition. In fact, they never did buy that. They put out the report, I believe, to be able to track who were the anti-government people as they spread this report around. And the NSA, of course, was tracking and putting out a list of who's a radical anti-government person. You've got to be very careful about what you spread and share on Facebook, which tracks you, or Instagram, which tracks you, or even emails that track you.
So we have parts or elements of the social score system already working, right?
Well, you know,
the full system is in China right now. And they're saying you must sign up for face recognition to have a cell phone, and you have to have a cell phone.
Yeah, we don't have any of that yet. The government would like to, but the people would rebel against that. So I just don't think that's, you know, real here right now. I mean, the government would love to do it. I'm sure the government's putting together lists based upon social scores, and Facebook is doing it and selling it to the government or giving it to the government. But they're not about to implement it yet. Now, when war comes, we'll see all of these prison camps and other things suddenly implemented, because war gives them the excuse to do that. But I don't see that happening before World War III.
It'll be for your safety at that point. So until then, they have to work on some more social programming and media programs and things that train people different ways to think so that they'll be easier to manage later, I guess.
Yeah.
Right. So at this point, it comes back to, while watching developments, I guess the first question is, you were saying Iran, you don't think is going to fall for this, to take the bait before they're ready for a war. So they're not going to respond in ways that people are theorizing they will right now.
Well, let me put it this way. If the U.S. attacks Iran in a big enough way, they will have to respond. And the U.S. knows that. Otherwise, they look tremendously weak by letting a foreign nation attack them. What if they attack a military base or something, or attack a naval ship? You know, Iran's going to end up responding and say, look, you've clearly attacked us, but the U.S. will spin it as self-defense in some way. But
yeah, exactly.
I believe we're probably, you know, no more than a month away from a war with Iran. And I don't believe it's going to escalate to World War III. There's a lot of pundits saying that Trump is going to get into a quagmire in World War III, but I don't believe that. Because Russia and China, just like in Iraq, they did not back up Iraq. They weren't ready for war. They still aren't ready for a war with the U.S. But the U.S. will continue to cement its reputation as the bully of the world by attacking Iran.
And why does the deep state want the U.S. in a war with Iran in a month instead of waiting for the main war?
They've wanted it a year ago. So they're way behind schedule because of Trump. They want Iran gone because Iran is the only one biggest force that's attacking U.S.-backed rebels and U.S.-backed terrorists. Iran is fighting them. You know, it's the Kurds plus the Iranian militia helping the Syrians that got rid of ISIS and attacked a lot of U.S.-backed rebels. And the only U.S.-backed rebels that survived these attacks from the Iranian militias, Hezbollah from Lebanon, and the Syrian army were the ones where U.S. troops were there, because no one dared kill U.S. troops lest they invite in a full-scale U.S. invasion. But ISIS and U.S.-backed rebels are basically beat in Syria, except for where the presence of U.S. troops continues to protect them.
Do you think the estimates of the military analysts that it would take at least a million troops or so to fight a successful war with Iran from the U.S. side, that they're willing to put basically everything they've got into a war with Iran in a month?
No, I don't believe they're going to use a lot of troops. I think they're just going to try to obliterate Iran with cruise missiles and drones and, you know, conventional munitions. I think it's not going to work completely like it did in Iraq, because Iran's got sophisticated jamming equipment as well. The U.S. and Israel and all the Arab states are going to take some damage from Iran. But right. I don't think the Americans have a toleration for a lot of dead Americans doing an invasion of Iran.
Well, and do they have a tolerance for Americans going in and killing millions of civilians in Iran? I wouldn't think so.
No, I wouldn't think so either. You know, this Trump has made the case against these interventionist wars, and he's doing exactly what he made the case that he wouldn't do.
Yeah, he said he was going to get out of all of it.
He's being provoked into it by false intelligence, and he's literally incapable of resisting it. He's been told some whoppers about Soleimani.
Well, they're basically teaching him why war is peace, I think. Right? He said he did this assassination to stop war.
Yeah. Somebody fed him that line.
If they succeed in getting the war going with Iran in a month or whatever time frame that is, that's going to have some unpleasant reactions for world economies and oil situations and stuff like that, right? Because
oil prices will skyrocket, just from the threat of Iran blasting a lot of the Saudi oil fields and UAW and the shipping ports and facilities. Iran is going to, really try to scorch the earth around there if they attack them.
Right. But I think the deep state sees that as not a bad thing, right? That could fit right into the overall agenda. What do you think?
Well, the deep state really doesn't care how much damage they cause as long as they get rid of Iran, because Iran is their biggest obstacle. Russia's a pussycat right now. Russia has not directly attacked any Americans, but Iran is willing to. Russia is not. Iran's willing to take on the U.S., and I'm afraid they're a little too overconfident.
Iran is overconfident, you're saying?
Yeah, Iran is bragging about, we can beat the United States, and I don't think they can.
Well, Khamenei, right before the assassination, said, there's nothing that you guys can do.
Yeah, but they can, but the U.S. can. And it's going to be a bloody war. I don't think it'll last that long. It won't be an invasion, per se, but I think they're going to do a lot of damage to the oil infrastructure of Iran.
What do you think about what people are saying about activating Hezbollah cells within the U.S. and parts of Europe and other things like that in retaliation?
Well, that's probably U.S. propaganda. The U.S. has been disinformation about, ISIS cells in the United States and all this for years. But the U.S. doesn't want people coming across the border lest the Americans really call for closing the border. They don't want to do that. So that's why we haven't had a lot of infiltration across our open border. It's going to be hard to tell whether or not it's really Hezbollah or whether or not it's a deep state false flag, because the U.S. And all of its allies in the U.S. have gone along with the false terrorism that the U.S. has created. I mean, for example, in the big terrorist attack on the movie theater or the concert in Paris, they had professionals come out of Mercedes and shoot up restaurants with automatic weapons, and the Paris police never even tried to find that Mercedes. They put out one APB, a bulletin for a Volkswagen Jetta that some terrorists were driving, but they never went after that Mercedes that shot up the restaurant. So the French and the British and every one of these intelligence services are in collusion with the U.S. Covering for terrorists. And they can falsify terrorist attacks like they did in France.
Right. It's a big, well-run organization, apparently. Yeah. So as a bottom line in the last 60 seconds here that we've got, do you think it comes back to preparedness and also not giving in to the mindset that we're being fed that you're weak, there's nothing to do, just, become disheartened and give up? I mean, it has to be a combination of physical and mental preparedness, right? Does that sound accurate?
Well, it does. The biggest thing I worry about is people don't do anything while President Trump is in office because they believe he's going to save them, and he will not. He hasn't got the capacity to save him. Even someone as knowledgeable as I about the deep state would probably not be successful in rooting it out, because it's in every piece of law enforcement. It controls the judges. I mean, how do you get them prosecuted? How do you get the surveillance tapes proving the treasonous things that they're saying? The NSA would never give that to you. Right. How do you prosecute without evidence? You can't do it on supposition. You can't do it on circumstantial evidence.
This is like David versus a billion Goliaths, right?
Yeah. So as I say, I don't think we're going to beat the deep state, but I think the Lord will always allow people who prepare and who get savvy about things to have pockets of liberty that will survive. And ultimately, the second coming has to come to take away the power of Satan over every nation in the world. And so, but everybody won't be in prison when that happens. I mean, there'll be pockets of liberty. The Lord will ensure that.
Right. Okay, well, at least some aspect of hope to the whole thing, and using the time well and realizing its value, I guess, would be important, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not discouraged. As bad as I know, I'm deeply into preparedness myself. Yeah. I'm no hypocrite. I'm not just preaching to myself. I am preparing to fight. I'm preparing to hide. I'm preparing to survive war. I'm preparing against fallout. I'm preparing with food and water storage and fuel and generators and diesel vehicles. And, you know, I'm doing everything I can and developing a network of like-minded people. They don't have to live together, but you got to know who you can trust.
Right. So your newsletter would be a good thing for anybody that's interested in any of this. WorldAffairsBrief.com and a free copy from editor at worldaffairsbrief.com, right?
That's right, Richard. And, thank you very much.
And buy the books, Strategic Relocation, The Secure Home, and what was the third one you told me?
The High Security Shelter book, How to Do a Concealed High Security Shelter Inside an Existing Basement. That's people's most economical alternative.
What's the best place to buy the books?
Well, you can get them at joelskousen.com or on Amazon.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, Joel. It's a pleasure to talk to you again.
Thank you, Richard.
See what happens next, huh?
Okay.
Talk to you soon. All right.
Okay.
See ya. Hey, you guys. Some interesting stuff going on. It's a pretty intense environment that we're in right now, and the priorities remain the same, you know. Take good care of yourselves. Do whatever aspect of preparation feels right and important to you. If you want to stay in touch with us in case we disappear from any of these major platforms that you might be listening to us on now, take a look at lostartsradio.com, and there's a place there to get on our mailing list, which we're not really using much now. But if we can't reach you any other way, it's a way to get things to you, embed videos and things like that. You can also write to info@lostartsradio.com, request to be on that mailing list, or text a message with a name and an email address to 928-235-4676. Also remember that we're on Brighteon.com, which is a non-censoring platform. Our channel is Brighteon.com, Brighteon.com/channel/Lost Arts Radio. We have a new Subscribestar page for if you have the resources and you feel like helping us keep going on this work that we're doing. You noticed how many commercials we had to support our work during the hour. That's how many we've been running on all of our shows. So if you can support us, please do Subscribestar.com/Lost Arts Radio or donate buttons on LostArtsRadio.com as well as Lost Arts Research Institute. .org. We have a lot of projects on hold just because there's no money, and if you want to help us, it would really be deeply appreciated. Write to me with any questions, direct, richard@loststartsradio.com. If you want to get into working on your own situations and on yourself and with forbidden knowledge about health and consciousness and deeper aspects of all of this, you can access that private meeting at planetaryhealingclub.com, planetaryhealingclub.com. Again, if you have questions about whether that is worth your time or not in your situation, feel free to write and ask, and I'll read it and respond as soon as I can. Sunday shows are continuing at the moment with a series with Joel Skousen that you might find really interesting and useful. That's every Sunday evening, and the Saturday live shows like this one will continue as long as we can. Followed 30 minutes later by the private meeting of Planetary Healing Club for those that want to take it to the next level and start working on yourselves, and access that at planetaryhealingclub.com. I'm there every week along with Doug. It's live, interactive, and it's very relevant and useful if you're ready to do some work. So that's about it. Thanks for being with us. I really appreciate you taking the time to share this with us, and hope you got something out of hearing Joel today. Let us know what you think, suggested topics, guests you want to see, and just any kind of feedback you want, feel free to send it. Have a good rest of the weekend or whatever day it is in the part of the world that you're in, and look forward to talking to you again very soon.
Introducing Lost Arts Radio on Subscribestar.com. Just go to Subscribestar.com/Lost Arts Radio to find our rewards program, offering 10 different giving levels starting at just $5 a month. We offer incredible value for any rewards level, from extra monthly interview videos not available publicly to subscription-based Planetary Healing Club videos once, twice, or three times a month, to private counseling sessions with Lost Arts Radio host Richard Sachs, to tech help with me, Doug Diamond. We even have one option where you can be the star on Lost Arts Radio as our guest on a specially produced show just for you. We conduct an interview with you and broadcast it to our growing network and listenership. Our subscribe star levels are one of a kind and offer great rewards for any budget. Please help support Lost Arts Radio. We can't do it without you. With increasing censorship on many of our channels, we really need your support today to keep doing what we're doing. As Richard says, we're not even at survival level yet. Lost Arts Radio has three weekly shows. Lost Arts Radio Live each Saturday night at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, which is a live stream currently on multiple platforms in case we get banned from some of the larger ones. Right now, we're on two YouTube channels, Facebook Live, Periscope, which is Twitter, Twitch, and DLive. You can access these broadcasts by going to www.lostartsradio.com/live for all the links to those channels. The Planetary Healing Club meets right after Lost Arts Radio Live at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Saturday nights. And our Sunday show with guests airs at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Sunday nights on our Blog Talk Radio channel, our YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and on Brighteon. Be sure to sign up for our free email list just in case we do get banned on big tech's platforms. It's just a matter of time, really. They don't like the stuff we talk about, and they do not want the truth out there. In fact, they have already attacked us numerous times. Join our free email list so we can let you know where we are and how to access our shows. The sign-up button is right on the top right on most pages of our website. The best starting point for all things Lost Arts Radio is our main site, lostartsradio.com, where you can find the hottest new selection videos that we curate just for you. Those are on the homepage and added to daily, as well as articles and breaking news about information you really need to know. Our show archives, the 10 most recent shows, are right on our homepage, as well as our Blog Talk Radio page at blogtalkradio.com/lostartsradio, or just click the All Things Radio Show tab right on our website. We're in the podcast directory on iTunes, and all of our shows except the banned ones are on our YouTube channels at Lost Arts Radio and at Diamond Disc. Our Brighteon page is really taking off, and we often have editors' picks videos right on their homepage. Visit Brighteon.com/channel/Lost Arts Radio. On our site, you can also access our free listener forum as well as sign up for the Planetary Healing Club, which is just $25 a month, where you get private access to a one-on-one interaction with host Richard Sachs and myself and the other club members who participate live. More info can be found at PlanetaryHealingClub.com. We're providing solutions in there to make the world a better place. Come join us. Thanks again for listening to and supporting Lost Arts Radio. We love having you as part of our family to learn, experience, and grow with.